Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
All right, it's Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. So there's a new book out called Chicago's Big Teams, Great Moments of the Cubs, Bears, White Sox, Blackhawks, and Bulls, written by Lou Friedman. He's a veteran prize-winning journalist who has written for the Chicago Tribune sports staff, as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Anchorage Daily News, among others. Now, Chicago is a 21st century city that is not only represented by all major team sports, football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, but so much more. In 28 unique essays, Chicago's Big Teams unwraps the stories behind the men, moments, and circumstances that have forged these great franchises and unforgettable champions. And Lou Friedman joins me tonight. Good morning to you, Lou.
Good morning. And I think probably the operative word these days is go Cubs.
Go Cubs, right? I think so, too. Although now I have been in the thralls of the Blackhawks convention all weekend. Mentally, I'm okay. Completely confused of what I'm supposed to be focusing on right now, you know?
Do you got some ice or not there with you?
Exactly. Well, I appreciate you getting up with us this morning. Terrific, terrific book. I mean, it's so comprehensive.
Thank you.
About the city in Chicago. How do you even get started with a book like this? So many events to go through, so many people to talk about. Where did you even start?
Well, with the teams.
Yeah.
One by one. Yeah. That's really what it is. The five, you know, the five teams. Other cities only have four, even if they're represented in all the four major sports, because you've got the two baseball teams to count in there. I mean, could have gone on. Could have been Chicago Marathon. Could have been other great moments, right. Colleges, but then you wouldn't be able to lift it.
That's true. That is true. Well, that's what volumes are all for. So I'm sure there's some more coming. And you talk about snapshots of Chicago legends, and I was trying to think to myself too, if I was to pick one legend from each team, and I think you nailed it here. You know, like Michael Jordan, Ernie Banks, Mike Ditka, Frank Thomas, Bobby Hull, really the tops of every team in the city, all from different eras. Let's talk first about Michael Jordan's impact on sports in Chicago. Is he the biggest in your mind?
But he would have to be. I mean, who were the Bulls before he got there? And, you know, he raised them to that level. They won six championships. It's taken the Cubs more than a century to get to six, right?
Right, yeah.
So, you know, everybody's coping this year.
That's true.
You know, the Bears have got more, but, you know, they were kind of spread out in different eras, totally different, you know, 1920s, 1940s, 1963, 1985, you know. Still waiting for that next one, really.
Yeah, we all are. The Chicago Cubs, Ernie Banks.
Oh, the best. You know, just because he's such a great guy. I hate to even think the fact that the Cubs would wait a year or two until after he passed away to win it all. I mean, Ernie was there waiting and rooting for him every single year and wanted to see it one more time in his lifetime. So that would be the only downside of a Cubs victory. Otherwise, I think most of the country is rooting for them this year.
Absolutely are. The Chicago Bears, you know, and this one is one I struggle with. Ernie was easy. Michael Jordan was easy. Is it Mike Ditka? Is it Walter Payton? Who's at the top of the Bears in your mind?
At the top, I mean, Payton certainly bigger, longer than Mike Ditka. But Ditka sort of embodies the Bears because of both sides of things, you know, on the sidelines, on the field, that kind of thing. That's what sets him apart. You could choose George Halas, too,
true.
You know, as the most influential Bear,
so
of course.
Yeah.
And then go back in the Wayback Machine to the Red Grange and Bronco Nagurski. But they were lucky because they had great players for different eras.
But you say that. So that's the Bears have so many to choose from. The Bulls, really, I think it's down to Jordan, Johnny Red Kerr, and Cubs, Ernie Banks. Was there anyone else that you would put at the top of that list?
I think Billy Williams was a great, great player. I mean, you got to go back. But, I mean, so I think just Ernie eclipses them. And because of the impact, as the, you know, he he did have that nickname, Mr. Cub. I always contended if Ron Santo, you know, if the nickname wasn't taken, people would have applied it to Ron Santo.
True.
Because of his long-term affiliation with the team, also in the broadcast booth.
But you really do have to go back in time to look at some of these players because there was just legends that were really early on.
Yeah, even the White Sox with Big Ed Walsh.
Yeah.
You know, that goes back a ways. Although I guess he had they gave him a day in the mid-50s, which was quite past his era, but it's also quite long ago right now. But I'm sure not too many people are still following the White Sox from over 60 years ago who were there that day.
Sure, sure. No, absolutely. Frank Thomas, would you put him at one of the tops of the heap?
Yeah, and Frank was always so superstitious about sort of his place in history until he was elected to the Hall of Fame. He hated to have anybody even come up to him and say, Frank, you're going to the Hall of Fame. And he'd say, well, we'll see. You know, he just wanted to change the topic until it was real. You know, he had that moment or two of superstition, so I'm sure, you know, he was thrilled when he didn't have to extend the wait any longer.
Sure. Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Blackhawks, you know, you talk about one of the most exciting teams in sports history and really in this generation. You can't look down. And I saw Bobby Hull Friday afternoon at the convention. You talk about Stan Mikita. For me, and we just right before we spoke to you, we had the opportunity to chat with Tony Esposito, who from my era, from my standpoint, that was the tops for me, without a doubt. This is a team that has so many, I think.
They do have quite a few, but I work backwards. In fact, just last year I had the opportunity to do research on the whole history of the NHL. And finishing up with that, you know, I have like a group of six people that I would consider to be the greatest in NHL history. And, you know, and they're all their familiar names. But Bobby Hull was on that list, so that's how I separate them. I mean, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, great players, Glenn Hall, Tony Esposito, Stan Mikita, great Blackhawks. But I think when you come down to it, you know, the Bobby Hull's got to be more of the epitome of the franchise.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who are the other ones that made your list? Just curious.
On the NHL list?
Yep.
Gordie Howe, Wayne Gretzky. Let's see, Hull makes three, Bobby Orr, Maurice Richard. And I think if I put him in, it wasn't an official list. It was more of a mental list of Mario Lemieux. I thought we had everybody covered. There were like seven, I guess, but and Hull was on that list.
So many of the names that you've mentioned, though, on all of these teams, really, you do have to look back. I mean, why don't we have – is there just no greats of today that we really can reflect on? Are they just not as big as when those glory days were happening in the 60s and 70s? Is that because we were all watching the same thing at the same time all the time and we had these people to look up to? It's just different today?
I don't know if that's it as much as how often does the greatest come along. If you're talking about, you know, a league that's 100 years old like the NHL, I mean, all the leagues are older than the NBA. But still, I mean, how often do you get a Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain at basketball? We're talking about LeBron James now, in their, you know, Kobe Bryant in that category. But again, if you pick the top 10 NBA players, you've got Michael Jordan, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West. I mean, any team, any city is lucky to have one of them ever. It's right. Really what it comes down to. It's like the player who's transcendent. If you're one of those franchises who had one of those guys, you kind of know it.
That's true. Very true. Well, Chicago's Big Teams is a new book. Lou Friedman is the author, and we're going to have more with Lou next on 720 WGN.
Let's go! Batter up! We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game. For a ball game today.
Dave Player on 720 WGN, and we're talking to journalist and author Lou Friedman in his new book, Chicago's Big Teams. So let's talk a little bit about our championships. Let's address the World Series that we've had in this city. Hopefully one this year.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that's looming over everything. But 2005 was a pretty darn good year for the White Sox.
Absolutely.
That was one that was pretty special. I mean, I remember right before that, those few years before that, when I was living there, how, you know, the games never sold out. Well, after they, you know, finally won that World Series under Ozzie Guillen, I still look up the names of guys who are still playing, you know, when they show up in the rosters mm-hmm. of other teams. And, you know, and then I realized how long ago it's been. It's been 11 years, which seems unreal to me that much time has passed. But some of the guys are still around. But, you know, that was a pretty good one. Because, you know, right around that time, the Red Sox, who had been celebrated for their futility almost as long as, you know, the Chicago teams, had won their World Series. And then it was longer wait for the White Sox. People forgot that. It just didn't take hold as much nationwide. That was a pretty special championship right there.
No, we think about the Cubs, too. You know, even though we talk about 1907, 1908 in the World Series, they were in other World Series over the last century. They just didn't win.
Right. You know, they had a period there where they were on a three-year cycle.
Yeah.
They would get in every 3 years for a while, especially in the 30s.
20s and 30s, yeah, right.
I think it was, what, 29, 32, 35,
yep.
And then 45.
Yep, 45.
Yeah, so it's been a while, though, but at the same time, they did have those opportunities.
Super Bowls won.
They've been kind of, yeah, they've been kind of sparse.
Yeah, they have.
That and the loss to the Colts when they got there. But everybody expected that 85 team to that to just be the first of several in a row that was so loaded. And that just didn't happen, you know. It takes you back to the cliche of your youth about being reminded how the toughest thing in sports is to repeat.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, that's the one team, though, is the Bears, that really has had really the biggest drought in their history. I mean, it's just been one championship. I mean, at least the Cubs have had a couple, and the Hawks, of course, have, and the Bulls have. It's really the Bears that, you know, you're waiting now, you know, 20-plus years for something. 30 plus years, excuse me, yeah.
And even then, it was, you know, since 63 when they had won previously. A team that had been good for a while but was sort of the door was closing on their chance to win a championship. And it was right in the middle of the Packers dynasty. You know, they actually interrupted that Vince Lombardi run when they won in 63, and they barely beat them. I mean, the playoffs were different at the time. There was a lot of interesting stuff you know, before that season began, if you talk to anybody from that team, where Callis had told them, as long as we beat the Packers when our head-to-head game, will be okay. And he was exactly right. And they beat him twice. And that's how they hung in there, just ahead of them, and got to the championship where they beat the Giants. The Giants were the great bridesmaids of that period, losing to both the Packers and the Bears. But yeah, that was a great one, too, because there's been a long wait. People forget, you know, the Bears dominated the 40s.
Yeah, right.
Then they had nothing until 62. So I think 17 years before they won again in 63, and then 22 to the great 85 team with all of those, you know, characters and heroes.
Sure, absolutely.
Hey, Lewis, Joey Gelman with WGN Sports. And I guess following up with that, with the 63 and the 85, why weren't those teams able to continue that success? You mentioned, you know, the youth and certain things may lean towards saying, oh, well, this team should, of course, win three or four championships. But why, on those two really specific occasions, they weren't able to sustain that success?
Well, 63, it was no surprise because it was an older team that was sort of like they had lost out to the Packers. And since 57, really, when they lost to the Giants, that had been a core of the team that was aging out. So to pluck one man was a great thing for that group. So that was not a surprise. It was the 85 bunch that people really thought were going to go on. And, you know, they were very, very good the next year. I think they were 14-2 in the regular season, but they got beat in the playoffs. They just didn't have maybe the same hunger, won too many Super Bowl shuffle.
Exactly.
They were only allowed one record, I guess, for that era. I don't know. I guess, 45 when it first came out. I got a copy of that.
I do too. Oh, yeah. I do too. Then you got the World
Series. format.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
45 RPM.
Hey, I got a jukebox. My kids know how to put a needle on a record. I think that's pretty important.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, right now, I can't play it. If I want to hear it, I would have to go to YouTube.
Gotcha. You know? Gotcha. Well, then we had all the Stanley Cups.
A great group of guys, too. But you know, it just shows the margin of success. You know, they were very good. It wasn't like they, you know, had a terrible year the next year.
Sure.
But, you know, they lose a playoff game, and it's over.
And then we've had all of our Stanley Cups, the World Championships, and the NBA. What team, in your opinion, has seen the biggest evolution over history?
Oh, you know, given that their history is much shorter, the Bulls. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amazing thing about the NBA in the early days of, you know, pro basketball is that Chicago couldn't sustain a franchise at first. You know, when the NBA first got going and it was a merger with the other old league, you know, the Chicago Stags failed with a great player, Max Soloski. So they were out of the league from the 40s till the expansion of the Chicago Packers in the early 60s with Walt Bellamy. And then they became the Zephyrs for 1 year. And they failed again and became the Bullets, leaving town. Finally, the Bulls come around and basketball stuck, but they were, of course, not very good for quite some time. So that's a sport in which Chicago really struggled, you know, in the beginning. And, of course, then, you know, once Michael Jordan came along, you got championships and statues in front of the United Center. Well, in fact, you got the United Center.
Right, right. No, absolutely.
Not just the statue, you got the building.
That's true. No, that's absolutely true. And you talk about...
Well, probably they came the farthest.
They came the first, Chicago Bulls. Yeah, absolutely. You talk about Wrigley, you talk about Comiskey Park, the legendary Chicago stadium. As far as broadcasters are concerned in Chicago, there were the greats that took us through all the games on radio and television. Who is the top broadcaster ever in your mind in the city of Chicago?
That's a tricky one. If you talk about best versus most influential is probably Harry Carey. You know, because of the legacy with the taking out to the ballgame, mm-hmm. and having a statue, you know, of him,
sure.
at the entrance to Chicago, to Wrigley Field. Jack Brickhouse, always there.
Absolutely, he did all the games. Fan. He did all the games. Brickhouse did everything.
Yeah,
at some point. Yeah,
So it's going to be, it's going to be Harry Carey because of his influence. And if you ask anybody suddenly on the street without time to think about it, they would probably say him too.
Now, what is the top sports event in your mind that has ever happened in the city? What is the number one event?
What, in the city it happened,
yep.
or a Chicago team?
A Chicago team.
Yeah, it's funny because if you guys remember the late, great Bill Jouse, who was a sports writer for half a century in Chicago, and when he retired from the Tribune, and Bill was, I think, 71 when he stopped writing sports full-time for the Tribune, he actually ranked all the events he had ever covered. Now, that was a personal choice. And the number one thing he ranked happened 40 years earlier, and that was Loyola winning the NCAA titles.
Interesting.
63. Yeah. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, nothing's changed, right? Loyola's still the only college from Illinois to win an NCAA basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a pretty good nominee. And when I, you know, on a personal level, when Bill wrote that, it got me to thinking. And because I was lucky enough to cover an event that couldn't be topped early in my career as well, because I covered the Miracle on Ice game in 1980. And I told him after he wrote that, I said, you kind of put me in the same situation, because however long it goes, however long I write, what's going to top that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'll be in the same situation as you.
That's true. So,
and I mean, here we are. What is it, 36 years, and I still am.
You absolutely are. You absolutely are. Well, I'll tell you what. The new book is Chicago's Big Teams. Folks, it's a great, great read. A great 150 photos in here, too, that are just absolutely incredible about the big sports teams in Chicago. And Lou Friedman is the author. Lou, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And go Cubs, go Sox, go Hawks, go Bulls, and go Bears, buddy.
There you go.
All right, have a good morning.
Okay.
Take care. All right, bye-bye now. All right, Elliot Bamber from WGN-TV, Chicago's Best, is next on 720 WGN.